This Bites, discussing Milwaukee's culinary and restaurant culture.
With Ann Christensen of Milwaukee Magazine and Tariq Moody of 88.9.
Once again, welcome to the longest running culinary podcast, about to be 10 years this year. This Bites, with the one and only food critic and writer from Milwaukee Magazine, Ann Christensen, and I'm Tariq Moody of Radio Milwaukee. On this edition of This Bites, we got some great things to talk about. The new issue of Milwaukee Magazine's out, and Ann took over again with the best restaurant. I love when you take over the magazine and not have me part of it, but that's cool nonetheless. Well, we're going to talk about some of the things in this new issue, including her picks for top 20 restaurants. And then we're also going to get into a new Hmong buffet coming to National Avenue. And also there's some urban farm dinners kicking off in May. But we're going to kick off with a cool review in the latest issue of Milwaukee Magazine. And you went to Waukesha, right? That's how you pronounce it, Waukesha?
I guess that's the way you pronounce it.
I saw a YouTube video where they're asking people to pronounce Wisconsin cities, or the late night show, and people kept saying Waukesha.
Yeah.
I think we should change it to Waukesha.
Well, people say Racine.
I say Racine. I do that.
Oh, I say Racine.
I'm from Atlanta. I can say it however I want.
I guess.
Waukesha. So anyway, let's. You went to downtown Waukesha. Waukesha. I apologize. But, huh? People are gonna get mad at me. Did a review on a restaurant I did not realize. I don't really visit Waukesha that often. Travieso.
Yes.
So tell me about this restaurant and why did it make the magazine?
It made the magazine because it's kind of awesome. This restaurant is in the old Clark Hotel, which has been several different restaurants. But the downtown area, like, we don't talk about downtown Waukesha because, you know, I mean, there are a few restaurants there, but it's not like it's a hub of activity.
No, it's not like Manhattan or anything, right?
It's not Manhattan. It's not. But no offense to downtown Waukesha. I think that there are cool things happening there. And this is just one example of that. This restaurant is owned by the same people who created Troublemakers Casino, which is a mobile kitchen.
Yeah, I love those guys. Those guys are great.
They do tacos and other delicious things at the Central Waters brewery on the Patch Ruin grounds. But anyway, do you know Martin Magana?
No, I don't know him personally.
Okay. Well, Martin used to be the chef at Tess. And then he had a restaurant at Crossroads Collective called Rita, if you remember that.
Oh, yeah. That was him. Oh, okay.
That's part of his background. So what he told me what he really wanted to do, because he has all these creative ideas, is he wanted to do something a little bit more high-end, Hispanic food. But what's interesting about this concept is it also brings in elements of Italian and Asian cuisines. Oh. So there's a lot going on. It's really interesting, really delicious food. In fact, I'm just going to mention a couple of things that I had when I was there. Okay, so they had these chocoyotes. I don't know. I don't think I'm saying that correctly, but they're dumplings. And they do a beef birria version of this. Mm. And so they're little half moon shaped blue corn dumplings with the beef birria
inside,
as the filling. Mm. And these, they're so good. What's really interesting about these particular dumplings is that, do you remember that dumpling fest that took place?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They won an award.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember that. It was a great dumpling.
So you've had it.
I mean, I was at the dumpling fest. If that was the same dumpling,
right? Dumpling fest. You did have them.
I was a kind of programmer of the dumpling fest, but yeah, you know, but you forgot that I was part of it.
Well, okay, so that particular, it's an appetizer on this menu, but these, that they're I'm just struggling for words to describe it because the flavor was so intense and really, really, really good. So
oh, I remember these dumplings.
It's one of my favorite appetizers that I've had really in a while. Mm. But they also have a really good version of street corn. So
I'm looking at the menu now. Like, this looks great.
Yeah. Their version actually, you know, adds cotija cheese. They have a cilantro aioli, cured egg yolk, or the shavings of cured egg yolk, pickled onions in a romesco sauce made with guajillo and shishito peppers. And if you go to restaurants a lot, you see fried Brussels sprouts everywhere. Everybody is doing. Okay, they do a version here at Travieso, and this one has feta and cotija cheese and a chorizo garlic aioli. Mm. So there's a lot of interpretations that are being kind of worked into this cuisine. Martin is just so creative. I really liked pretty much everything that I had there. He has a mole crusted pork tenderloin, so it's a house-made mole sauce. That has candied tagine, pineapple, cilantro aioli, feta cotija mousse. It's very elegant food. You just you go in there and you really don't expect it. And then, like, if you want to go in on a weekday and have something casual, they even do like a Taco Tuesday.
Oh, really?
And they have, you know, a Friday fish fry.
This is great.
Yeah. And on Saturdays, he also does a prime rib, a Latin-inspired prime rib. So there's just a lot of really, really fun stuff going on there. I think you should get out there and try
it. That sounds like a really good restaurant. I'll make sure I have my passport to get out to Waukesha.
Yeah.
Get out there. Because it's like 40 minutes there to get to Waukesha from here. How far is Waukesha?
Well, it maybe really would take you half an hour to 40 minutes, something like that.
Okay. Too bad we don't have a train. But anyway, I look forward to like trying this. I'm looking at the menu and I'm like salivating. So thank you. You can check out this review in the latest issue of Milwaukee Magazine. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on Dish Bites with Ann's top 20 restaurants in Milwaukee. That's coming up on Dish Bites.
I'm 88.9 Story Zori.
And I'm Milwaukee Films' Christopher Pollard.
And we are the hosts of Cinebuds.
Yeah, we are. And on Cinebuds, we talk about movies.
Flicks.
Moving pictures, they are referred to as also.
Talkies.
Talkies is good, yeah. And you can listen to us every week.
On Wednesdays at 8 a.m.
Or you can listen to the entire podcast at radiomilwaukee.org/podcast.
We're back on Dish Bites, Milwaukee's longest running coloring podcast, about to celebrate its 10 years this October. 10 years.
That is insanity.
I was in my 30s.
And you were in my 20s.
I thought you were in your 60s 10 years ago.
No? So.
You look so good. You look amazing. Anyway. Also, let's talk about the cover of Milwaukee Magazine's Best Restaurants. Did you have to pay them to take over the cover? What's the deal? Do you bribe them to get the cover?
What?
You didn't have to pay to be on the cover? No.
Oh, I have to pay to get on the cover?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
What's the deal? No. Okay.
No, it's the fact of the matter is people really like to read about restaurants. So it becomes an issue takeover at least 3 times a year.
Wow, 3 times a year. Sounds like you pay. But anyway, talk about this cover. Talk about the 20 restaurants. Talk about how'd you decide which 20 restaurants, and then highlight some of the ones that we rarely talk about, like that you picked in this issue.
Okay. So the cover, though, it's a photo of veal chops from Loopy and Iris. And whenever we do a story, when we want to do a food cover like this, we look at a couple different restaurants at least. So we think about, what is some really striking looking food visually, you know? So I don't know. I was definitely thinking of Libby and Iris because I think their presentation is really very superlative. Let's put it that way.
Superlative. And whoa, big words.
Big words. And we had seen another magazine cover, like a food cover of some magazine. I don't remember which one, but somebody did like a chops on a cover like this where they had them kind of like spread out across like kind of a marble board. And so we did something. We were inspired by that. So that's how the cover came about. I do not shoot the cover. People ask me that question all the time. If I take photos of food, I do not.
So this was done on an iPhone, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a little old.
Anyway, let's get into the meat of the story.
Okay,
See what I did there? I said get into the meat of the story.
I think that's fabulous. I think it's fabulous. So we called it Where to Eat Now.
Mm-hmm.
And we did honestly get one complaint from somebody saying they couldn't read the Eat Now in this font. But, you know, our designers want to play around and they want to do creative things. So I think it's readable, but, you know, that's my prerogative. But anyway, top 20 restaurants. I was looking, you know, this is a story that I have done. I did this in 2023, although I did top 25. And this year I decided to go to top 20 because I really wanted to focus on, I really thought about, well, what really are the best restaurants?
Okay.
Which ones are really like pushing it?
And then what is your criteria for a restaurant to make this list?
Of course, the food has to be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But the service has to be excellent.
On par with the food.
It does. It has to be like a full experience that is extraordinary. It has to be out of the ordinary. It has to just sort of like come at you, all your senses, what you're smelling, what you're seeing, what you're tasting, what you're hearing. Everything about that experience plays into what makes a great restaurant. So it's difficult. It's actually really, really difficult to do because I can't be at a restaurant every night of the week.
Well, you could have hired me.
I could hire Tariq.
But
go on those.
Do you have a scoring system or is it just gut
feeling?
I don't
do a scoring system.
Okay.
I have my own personal scoring system, okay. I guess. But
so
this story though, this year, I try to add a few new components to it. I have top 20, I have restaurants worth a drive, I've got best new restaurants, and I've got some other components.
Mm-hmm.
What you want to talk about is some of the restaurants that maybe we don't talk about as often, right?
That made the list.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if you ever get up to Shorewood, but Shorewood has a really great restaurant called Buttermint. We probably covered it when it opened. It's not around that long. Opened during pandemic. And it's run by the Story Hill BKC Blues Egg people. But man, it's like they're really doing really great food. It's fine dining, but it doesn't have that kind of stuffiness to it.
Mm-hmm.
Every plate feels complete to me. Mm-hmm. Like the protein works so well with the starch and the sauce. Everything just comes full circle. And you can go there and it can be as casual as you want it to be or as elegant as you want it to be. Mm-hmm. To me, I think that's the way that fine dining is moving. It's moving in the direction of kind of pick your poison.
Mm.
You know, like what kind of experience you want to have. I don't think that fine dining restaurants that do not evolve and become a little bit more open to everyone, to every kind of diner. I think that's going to be a problem in the future. Those restaurants that aren't able to do that, to transition that way.
Times are changing. So, new generation, people coming up, not making that kind of money like their parents used to make. And it's a different time, right?
It's a different time. And, you know, you don't want to be told what to wear in a restaurant or how to act or...
You should be told how to act. You know.
Well, if you're Tariq, you should. You should be told how to act.
Be respectful. Like that's okay, the bottom line, right?
Of course. Of course. So I don't think that we talk about Odd Duck a lot. I mean, we've talked about them. They moved from Bayview to Walker's Point. You know, when I think of restaurants that have a really, really inventive small plates menu, it's Odd Duck. I mean, those guys are like kind of knocking it out of the park every day. And
isn't that odd?
Isn't that odd? Exactly. But I also think that they have some of the best servers in the city too.
Really?
They just, it again, they kind of like really understand what Odd Duck does, and they're able to get that message across to the diner. And they do it in a way that's both respectful and kind of personal at the same time. They're just really well-trained, I think. And, I love how that menu changes all the time. And I love that whether you are a carnivore or a vegetarian, you will find something great there. It just, they don't kind of, you know, favor one over another. So I just think I love how everything that you have there can be fantastic. It's just a really great place. Let's see, what else should we talk about here? Have we talked much about Lebnani House and how much I love their food?
We briefly have mentioned them, but give us a refresher if people have never heard about our conversation about Lebnani House.
So Lebnani House is a Middle Eastern restaurant, but it's very different from the typical Middle Eastern restaurant that you might be used to if you've gone to like Casablanca or Scheherazade or something like that. Their menu, number one, it's huge. It offers many different dishes that you cannot find elsewhere in the city. They have all these different hot and cold mezza. They have these clay pot casseroles that are called fakara. They have grilled meats. They do all these main dishes. Everything that I have eaten there has been delicious. I have yet to find something on that menu that is not good. And that's saying something because, you know, I go to restaurants all the time and am disappointed. So I don't know. I just love this restaurant. I think the food is fantastic. I think the service is great. They're Muslim owners, and they service the Muslim communities. So they don't have a liquor license. So, but they honestly serve these incredibly delicious infused lemonades, herb infused lemonades. So if you go there, you need to get one of those. They're really delicious, and you're like, oh my god, I don't need alcohol if I have one of these herb infused lemonades. Really, really good. So it's down in Greenfield on South 27th. I don't know if you been down there yet.
No, I have not been there yet.
Yeah, it's definitely worth it. It's food is delicious. Really nice people. You're not going to regret going there, and you're going to want to go back as soon as you've left. So, yeah.
Cool.
Those are just a few of the places that I mentioned.
If you want to find out the rest of these restaurants, it's in the latest issue of Milwaukee Magazine. We're not going to give it all away. You know that. Let's talk about something also on the South Side. There's a Hmong buffet coming to National Avenue, reported by Urban Milwaukee. A new restaurant from Joanna and Zhang Yang are planning to bring some authentic Hmong cuisine, kind of a buffet style. The restaurant is be called Chu Yi's, which is named for the couple's youngest son. It's slated to open at 3800 West National Avenue. It will feature all kinds of dishes, buffet style, from meat-based vegetable dishes, pork belly, noodles, egg rolls, and more. You expect to see a rotating dishes from 20 to 30 different dishes each day. They're also, Chu Yi's also serves as a catering operation. They have a place in Silver City building that serves up appetizer, noodle dish, rotisserie meats, and seafood and rice. I was looking at their catering menu. It looked really fabulous, by the way. Looking at their catering menu, they have pork belly with Chinese broccoli. They have a lot of cool noodle dishes, pad see ew, sweet noodles. They have rotisserie items, everything from the duck to turkey tail, Cornish hen, and quail. They have salt and peppered squid and lobster as well on their catering menu. They have banh mi's as well. So those are some of the entrees you can get at their catering operation. So I'm assuming some of those will be available at the buffet. Finally,
we've talked about a buffet. I haven't been to a buffet in eons.
You're a big fan of Old Country Buffet, right?
Well, as a matter of fact, Tariq, yeah, no, I'm not. But I
Blue Hair Cafe, they call it.
The Blue Hair Cafe, yeah. No, I was just going to say that I think that a lot of buffets sort of went by the wayside because of COVID. So this is interesting to see kind of a concept like this coming back.
Eventually, I feel it would come back after a while.
Yeah.
Tell me about Brazen Standard Hospitality, Ann.
Yeah, so Brazen Standard was founded by Dan Nowak, co-founded at least by Dan Nowak. And he's the CEO who also started Tall Guy and a Grill. I don't know if you've ever had their catering at weddings, but that is the main kind of, I guess, sort of brand that Brazen has is Tall Guy and a Grill. They also have a traveling event bar called the Crafted Tavern. And it goes around kind of pouring selections of Wisconsin's craft beers and spirits at different events. Mm. So that's their shtick. So, but
and
this is
and they also have they also the event yeah. space the Starling.
The Starling. Now I'm a little bit confused because the Starling is also I think that there's a partnership with another group.
The Two Birds Event Group.
Yes.
Yes. And so the Starling is going to be hosting these urban farm dinners that Brazen Standard Hospitality will be doing, kicking off May 10th. To get details on how to get tickets for the May 10th dinner, head over to our website at radiomilwaukee.org. This Bites is edited and produced by Kim Shine, a.k.a. K-Shine, with support from our membership. Please subscribe to This Bites wherever you get your podcasts, or just head over to radiomilwaukee.org. And as always, Ann, stay hungry.
And keep the Milord cold.
Have a great weekend, Ann.
You too.